The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father, Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. So we have this text today. I need to kind of paint a picture of you, for you, not of you, but for you, of what's going on here. Jesus ends up in the land of the Gentiles, near the Sea of Galilee, in a town that's at the very north of the sea, called Capernaum. Capernaum is a town of about 1,000 people. I want you to imagine Lake Michigan, and a town at the very top of Michigan that you don't know the name of, because it's such a small town. It's such a poor town. That's where Jesus goes to. And he does this to begin to collect his disciples. Now, on the Sea of Galilee, to the south, and just a little bit to the west, is a huge town called Tiberias. Thousands of people. And not too far west from there is another town called Sepphoris. Thousands of people. These are cultural centers. These are financial centers. These are centers of great politicians, great leaders that come out of these towns, much, much bigger than Capernaum, a town of 1,000. Jesus chooses to go to Capernaum. Why? For that matter, why would he start in Jerusalem? Jesus was a Jew. So why didn't he go to Jerusalem to start and look for disciples? Wouldn't he want other people that thought like him, had come from the same background? He was a good Jewish boy. He goes to the land of the Gentiles. People not like him at all. To start to look for his disciples. Why would he do that? It's an open question. Anybody want to throw out? Diversity? I think that's a piece of it. He's thinking outside the box. Most people would have went to a major city to look for people, right? Isn't it true that you're supposed to go through as many people as you can, search for the best one? A couple weeks ago, we talked about that God doesn't call the qualified. God, oh, you make my heart good. Somebody's been listening. Jesus wants to point out that the poor, the marginalized, the Gentiles who are nothing like who he is, are just as important as anyone else in the kingdom of God. So he starts his ministry up in Capernaum. That's why he's up there. It's part of his ministry to value those who nobody else has been valuing. Gentiles were not very highly thought of. So to even be up in that area, right, it's kind of outside of what probably a person in the time would think was a good idea to put together his posse, his group of people, his inner circle. And so he goes to Capernaum. And he's walking along the Sea of Galilee. Now, what do you think the major industry in Capernaum was? Right. Which also tells you something about the way people thought about those first disciples. See, these were fishermen that he ends up finding. Guess what they smell like? And they kind of had the reputation of tax collectors. People like, oh, that's a stinky fisherman over there. They weren't highly regarded. So Jesus walks up to the first two. And what do? What? They follow. They drop everything they're doing. How long does it take them to make that decision? Immediately. Immediately they drop their nets. And off they go. Did Jesus promise them anything? Not a thing. Has Jesus done any miracles? Has the wedding of Cana even happened? Not one reason to follow that guy. Fishing must have been really bad. And we hear some stories where it was, and he's even got an answer for that, doesn't he? Then he goes a little bit further. Two more guys. What do? Right, they fish, and then they follow him. They drop everything they're doing. How long does it take them? Immediately. There's no procrastination with these guys. We have an interesting situation with disciples and the crowds that follow Jesus. The crowds that follow Jesus were really happy to be following Jesus because they heard about the miracle he did. This is the guy that turned water into wine. And so some people followed him. This is the guy that made fish and loaves of bread feed thousands. And so they followed the guy. For the crowd, they follow because there's this implication that they're going to get something. The disciples really started following Christ for no other reason than they were called. Jesus said, "Follow me." They said, "Okay." And so it leads me to wonder, who am I as a follower of Christ? Good question to ask ourselves. Am I a person that trusts that Christ is coming to me to ask me to do something? There is something that Christ asked those fishermen to do. Do you remember what it is? He offers them something. A job. He offers them a job. He doesn't offer them food. He doesn't say, oh, you're going to have everlasting life. He offers them a job. They can see in the great teacher that this job is going to probably be the most important thing that they ever do just by who Christ is. They recognize Christ's divinity. It's interesting because most times, if you're interested in something, you go seek out learning for that thing. You seek out a teacher. I'm going to call Rock Valley and see who teaches ceramics. Oh, I want to go to that ceramic teacher because they're really good. In this case, the teacher is seeking out students. That teacher seeks out you to be his student and offers you a job. Offers you a job in the vineyard of the world to go out and fish for people. To let them know, not just in what we say, but in every action we do, who Jesus Christ is. Not who we are, but who Jesus Christ is. Christ asked us to do that. Most times, I got to check my schedule. Do I have time? Christ asked me to do something really difficult. I don't know, it doesn't fit into the way I'm thinking about things should go this week. I was supposed to have lunch with my brother on Thursday. I've got a couple of things I've got a couple of appointments. Or do I drop everything and do what Christ is asking me to do? And so we pray. Good and gracious God, you walk up to each of us in our lives, wherever we are, and say, follow. Lord, help us to respond to your call. Help us not to take too long. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we continue with our service, please rise as you are able.